I'm reading from Ephesians 2, and the title of this passage, piece of passage, is Jew and Gentile Reconciled Through Christ. Starting in verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the laws which its commands with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Spirit.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jenny, for that. And great to see you all. Here we are again, back in lockdown. What is this, 5.0? I hope you're keeping safe and I hope you're doing well. You just have to acknowledge that this is hard. I don't know what you felt like on Thursday as you felt the announcement coming, but I felt this weight upon me. So I hope you're going well through this. I was reading the psalm this week, which is actually the psalm reading for today as well. I think it's Psalm 89. And it talks about how long, eternal, must we endure? So we're enduring this again. So it's just good. We've got a God that hears us, who knows us, knows what we're going through. And a God that we can just complain to. I think, God, what are you up to here? So I hope today, as we gather together, we can you can be filled, your cup of water will be refreshed, and that we can notice Christ with us, as Phil was praying for us today. Today's passage, though, it's a bit of a challenging one. Because it's a passage that doesn't brush over things and says and say things are going to get better. It doesn't say everything's going to be okay and going back to normal. The passage doesn't give us a pat on the back and say, it'll be all right, Matthew, Ruth, Phil, whoever. Things will get better one day and everything will go back to normal. No, Ephesians 2 doesn't quite say that. It's opens up something new towards us, invites us into, but it doesn't say everything's going to be okay and go back to normal. It's rather a rather confronting word is used here by Paul when he opens up this passage to the Corinthian church. So this passage is written is a letter written to the people in, sorry, where are we? Are we in Ephesians? We're in Ephesians, aren't we? Well, I think we're in Corinthians last week. So anyway, there's a bit of insight into my brain. We're in Ephesians, and this letter was written to the Ephesian church, and they're a small group of people whom Paul was writing to, and they lived in this larger city that was the Roman Empire. And you can Paul uses this loaded word. And I'll come back to why this word is loaded later. But for now, it's a word that Jenny read out in the translation she read, and I counted it four times, and that's the word peace. Now, we're probably familiar with peace when it's translated into English, coming from the word shalom, but not in this case. It doesn't come from the word shalom, which is the Hebrew definition of peace, but has a bit more to it. This word peace in Ephesians 2 comes from a different Greek word. I don't know how to pronounce this correctly. I think it's Irene. And it's where we get the girl's name, Irene, which means peace. Helen's nodding there. Did I get that right, Helen? Irene? Anyway, she'll tell me later on. The meaning of Irene is peace, but this sense of joining things together that are separate, to join things that are apart, to set things together in which hostility is set apart. This is this idea of peace that Paul was talking about here. So Paul is not talking about smoothing things over and getting rid of all differences or difficulties, but this word peace has a sense of leaning into the differences, leaning into the difficulties, not smoothing them over, but joining things together. And peace means, in this case, to join two things together on different sides of a wall or different sides of a fence. So why are these fighting words that Paul, why is this a loaded word that Paul uses? Well, as I mentioned, he's talking to the people who are squarely set in the grasp of the Roman Empire. Ephesus is in modern-day Turkey now, and it was probably Minor Asia, if you know your biblical geography. And this was a center of cult worship for the emperor. People would celebrate the emperor's birthday. There would be big statues to the emperor as well. And the emperor was called the peace bringer. Paul uses this language of the Roman Empire quite a bit. He says in verse 19, "You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens." So again, it was quite a big thing to be a citizen of the Roman Empire once you were conquered by them, because you got all the added advantages of that. But here, Paul's using this political language when he uses the word peace. Because he's saying the Roman emperor doesn't bring peace, but Christ does. The Roman emperor brought peace by the sword. Peace in the Roman Empire came to those who would toe the line, who would bow down to the emperor's rule. And it also meant death to those who would not. That's the sort of peace the emperor is talking about. But here, Paul is talking about a peace coming from Christ, or in fact, Christ is our peace. And he says it in a different way. He says in verse 13 to 14 in Ephesians 2, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace." Now, you wouldn't say this loud in public. You probably have to whisper this if you're in the Roman Empire, to say that Jesus Christ is the peace bringer, because this is fighting words. And it's a different sort of peace. So what is Paul trying to get at? Well, if I read verses 11 to 12, he talks about those that are in and those that are out, talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. He says in verse 11, "So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made by the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at one time without Christ." So he's talking to the Gentiles here, the outsiders. He's saying that you were at one time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So for Paul, the world was divided up into two people, the Jews and the Gentiles. Or to put it another way, the insiders and the outsiders. And speaking to these people in Ephesus and the region, the outsiders, he wants them to not fall into the same mistake as the insiders. The Jews, the insiders, were called by God to be a blessing to the nations and to have their differences be something which was a gift to the nations, except the insiders, the Jews, thought that difference meant they were special and they built up these walls. Instead of seeing themselves as a blessing, they saw themselves as special. And now Paul sort of takes that apart and he says something very different. He says, but now in Christ, this is part of verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. And he refers to the wall here. And in the temple in Jerusalem, there was a wall. The Gentiles were only allowed to go so far towards the temple. There was a wall put up and only the Jews could go through. So he's referring to something that was really there, this wall. Then in verse 15, he says, he has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So there's a lot in there. What Paul is doing is he's not telling them to stop being divided, but he reminds them of who they are in Christ. The outsiders were without hope, without God. The insiders who had God worked against God's intentions. And so in some sense, they're all in the out. But Christ, through the cross, brings both groups together. No one is special by their heritage or what they've done. There's no us and them. That's what Paul is saying. And he tells them what's already true, that this has been done in Christ. It's a gift to be received. So that's the division than the walls back then. What about now? What sort of divisions and walls do we have or have seen in our society, in our churches? We'd be quite naive to think there's no divisions and they don't occur. But culture rubs off on us. We just had the State of Origin this week, and being a New South Welshman, I put walls up with Queenslanders on the other side. Maybe here we have the South Australia versus Victoria walls. I don't know. But what about some of the touchy things? What about the walls we put up when we place one side as Liberal or one side as Labor? What about the vaxxers or the anti-vaxxers? What about those who wear masks and those who don't wear masks? Pro-Trump, pro-Biden. All these walls we sort of are put up in our society. Pro-choice or pro-life, pro-same-sex marriage or against same-sex marriage. All these walls and these divisions set up hostility between groups. And these sort of things raise our blood pressure quite a bit. But Paul is saying that although we have differences and perhaps walls, Paul doesn't iron out the differences and say there should be no differences. He says there's something greater that knocks down these walls, that brings us together, and that is Christ. Christ is creating a new humanity in him, joining all together in him. not by what people have done, but by who Christ is. He's reconciled. He's made himself available. He's come to us. Often the world thinks peace comes from one side of the wall coming over to the other side. But that's not what Paul talks about. He still maintains these differences, but he says, even though we have differences, we come together, all come together in Christ. I'd like Craig to play the Speaking of Life, which is a 5-minute video from Hibernicus talking about this passage, and I'll come back after this.
You have heard the adage, good fences make good neighbors. But hindsight says, bad neighbors make good fences. Ever since Adam and Eve turned hostile against God, fences and walls have outlined the history of conflict between neighbors. Stories about Jericho and Jerusalem or Babylon and Berlin are not complete without the rise and fall of their walls. Attempts at peace are often pursued, but usually through this cycle of erecting and tearing down walls. Wars and walls go hand in hand. Some believe better walls will bring peace, while others believe peace can only be achieved by their removal. But the problem is not with the walls. It's with the people on both sides of the walls. The walls of hostility are not built from earth and stone, but from stony hearts. This is the true wall of hostility that needs to be torn down. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that he has done just that. We no longer have to argue over which side of the wall to stand on. Jesus has created a new ground of peace in himself where all can stand as one. He breaks down the walls of separation that are so prevalent in our world. Everyone is invited to live in him. The Apostle Paul was accused of crossing a cultural wall of hostility in his day, and it landed him behind the walls of a prison. Yet barricaded behind those walls, he was free and at peace to write this about Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Thanks to our triune God of grace, there are no walls of hostility between us and God. The Father has made us his children in Jesus, and therefore brothers and sisters to one another. If you have grown weary of building and tearing down walls of hostility, Jesus calls you to himself to belong to a new family that lives without walls and in peace. Mi nombre es Ever Ticas, hablando de vida.
So I just wanted to share that with you. The presenter talks about this good news of what Jesus Christ has done, and we no longer have to argue over which side of the wall to stand on. I heard yesterday that this weekend there are up to 12 million people in lockdown around Australia, with the two major centres, Sydney and Melbourne, in lockdown this weekend. The state borders are shut. We heard about Jan raced across the border a few days ago. Plans are in disarray. bubbles have been suspended, on and on and on. And you may also notice that as the case numbers rise, so is the desire to lay blame somewhere and to pinpoint who to blame about all this. Is it the fault of the New South Wales government, the Victorian government? Is it the fault of the federal government not getting vaccines out enough? Is it the fault of people not getting vaccinated? Is it the fault of international arrivals? Or is it the fault of the removalist who didn't wear a mask? It just goes on and on and on. You must admit, it feels good to complain and blame someone and join in the chorus. It satisfies, at least for a short time, but doesn't make any difference. Does it offer any solutions? Now, there are legitimate questions to ask about things, but it's good to ask the question, if we were in charge, if we were the Premier or the Prime Minister, could we have made a better decision? Or are we able to lay the blame at one single person or group or individual? So maybe this opportunity, this crisis offers us an opportunity to, instead of blaming, lean into the peace offered by Christ. And that peace is joining things that are apart, leaning into the hostility that we may feel, not in order to find fault, but in order to carry the burdens of another. And perhaps even looking foolish trying to do it, because Christ has created one new humanity. There's no us and them. There's just us in all this. And so this passage by Paul doesn't smooth over the differences and make it all flat. He maintains the differences, but this peace comes from joining different people. And that's just a wonderful picture of the church. We need each other. God has placed us with our different gifts, different people, because he loves us and wants us to be with him and wants us to complement each other. Even when we encounter people that are different or we don't like, they're a gift to us. This is what Christ is doing, taking down these walls. And this is the sort of building that God is building. And Paul talks about it as I conclude. In our verse 19 in Ephesians 2, he says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also with members of the household of God." So he's bringing together these two different groups, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Looking forward to seeing you next week. We have due to have a Sunday service in venue, but we'll have a Sunday service in Zoom next week anyway. But look forward to seeing you then. And I'll hand you back to Ruth, I think, for our final song and closing prayer. Thanks, Ruth.